I think you're muted.
Thank you, Cecil. And I'm telling a story. I'm sorry for the people on the recording if you didn't hear what we said before. We had a lechayim, Lilui Nishmas, Rabbi Yisrael ben Pesach, 14 years, father of Tzvi. Anyway, I was telling the story. But these crazy, it was apropos of these crazy cases in the Gemara. Anyway, so I'm a Sada Kedushin. This is his second marriage, her third marriage. Her first marriage, she converted in a non-halachic conversion with this fellow. But this fellow had had a son from his, I'm getting it wrong. This was her second marriage also. She had converted for the marriage, but it wasn't a halachic marriage. It wasn't a halachic conversion. So what happened? Let me start again. I'm a Sada Kedushin in a wedding. The Chatan, it was his second marriage after a divorce. She, it was a remarriage. It was a second marriage after being widowed. Her first marriage, she converted non-halachically to satisfy the in-laws. Because this fellow had been previously married to a woman who didn't even convert. He was completely intermarried and had a son from that marriage. And then, as sometimes happens, she was Choseret Betshuva. I mean, her being Choseret Betshuva meant she then had a halachic giur. And he followed along, and he became Choseret Betshuva. And they raised the son. The son lived with them. But the son was not Jewish, because his mother, his birth mother, was not Jewish. And then they made Aliyah. And they came on Aliyah, and Rachmana Litzlan, this poor fellow, got sick and died. So now she's getting remarried. He's already grown. He lives in America. He's on his own. So I'm going to be Masada Kedushin at this wedding. And I'm trying to figure out, what do you write in the ketubah? You know, each kala has like a kind of title. In a normal wedding you go to, she's called the betultada, the maiden bride. But in this case, the bride is a gioret and also an almana, because she's widow. So each of these things has different, which one do you put in? But then I realize, wait a second, she can't get married. Why? It's relevant to our Gemara tonight. What? No, it's her second husband.
She was never halachically old.
She was never. She had a halachic conversion. Yeah, when they were Choseret Betshuva. What does she have to do before she gets remarried?
Yibum.
Correct, Cecil. Because even though her husband had a son from his previous marriage, that son is not Jewish. And for the purposes of Yibum and Chalitza, a non-Jewish descendant does not poter for Yibum and Chalitza.
He's got a brother.
And he's got a brother who's never heard of Yibum, has never heard of Chalitza, is himself intermarried.
How long before the wedding?
A couple weeks before the wedding. A couple weeks before the wedding.
And his brother's in the South Pole.
He's not in the South Pole. He was in Canada someplace.
No.
He's not going to come here, you know, to do Yibum or Chalitza. To do Chalitza.
Oh, boy.
So she has to get on a plane and go to...
There's no Chalitza with the Shaliach?
What?
Everything else you can do with Shaliach.
So it's an interesting question about Chalitza with a Shaliach. This was a serious problem in pre-modern days, but I'll come back to that in a second.
You can't do it on Zoom either.
You can't do it on Zoom. Whether or not you can do it by Shaliach is a machloket, but you certainly cannot do it by Zoom. So I arrange with Betin in Toronto. You know, it's pretty unusual. Chalitza is pretty unusual. So she goes, and you know, he does the Chalitza, and she comes back and gets married. But then you have to figure out, what do you write in the ketubah? So I called the number of poskim. Tzivet, it doesn't matter. Do you want to get it right? Is a chalutzada, right? A woman who had a chalutza, that's indicated in the ketubah. She's also an almana. She's also a gioris. So I called, like we spoke.
Chalutza and almana are pretty much
right. So I spoke to a few poskim, and somebody said to me, in the history of the Jewish people, this might be the first time this case has happened. Right? In other words, they're crazy. Like, if I would have made up this case and put it in the Gemara, you'd say this is one of those crazy thematics. So anyway, the point is that these crazy thematics, one guy marries five wives at the same time, you never know. In a couple thousand years,
I'm so glad you repeated that, because about 3 months ago you told the story, and I didn't quite get it then. Now I get it.
I did tell the story.
I'm glad you repeated it.
Okay, anyway.
Very helpful for you.
Yeah, it would have been a very serious problem, as we'll see. As we'll see, it happens to be our topic tonight. So look, we're about 8 lines up from the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Beis. The first word on the line is Lisveka. Lisveka, and then it says Toshma. Toshma.
Which line?
It's about 10 lines up from the bottom. The first word on the line is Lisveka, and then you see the word Toshma.
Got it.
Toshma, come listen to this. Mi shekidesh achat mishte achayot. Ve'eno yodea ezo kidesh. Remember, we're still talking about this question of marriages which cannot be consummated because of some doubt. In this case, two sisters. So a person is mekadesh one of two sisters, but he doesn't know. Eino yodea. He does not know eze kidesh. Okay, he's a shlomazel. Notain get lazu, the get lazu. He has to give gittin to each of them. One is certainly his wife, and the other is a suffix.
It's a coin, it's out of luck.
Hocha b'mayaskinan. What are we talking about?
You said if it's coin, it's out of luck. Maybe just in general, it's out of luck. Because how could he go back to marry the one if he was in between? You say he wouldn't be married to both of them, so would he be able to marry?
No, in other words, it would be machzir grusha, and as long as she wasn't with someone else in between. But
the status of the second is not. You know, we're assuming that he only was married to one of them, so it's not like there's no possibility that he didn't have a somewhat degree of marriage to both, which gets to be somebody in between. The question is whether it's nothing and you're just doing it a complete suffix, or
but I'm not sure, because you cannot marry marriage. You cannot marry if you divorce one woman, you can't marry her sister.
That's nothing, right?
So in other words,
either way you're out of luck.
In other words, because the woman that he's marrying, and as he divorces both of them, one was a real divorce, the other one was just to cover your bases. Now he actually wants to marry the one he wanted to marry.
He can't even marry their sister.
He can't marry any of the sisters because they're all a suffolk. Even the woman who really was his wife, there's no problem of machzir grusha because she wasn't presumably with another man in between, but she's a suffolk. Achot ishto. Achot grushato.
He'd have to wait till she died?
He would have to wait. In the case, it's only two. He would have to wait until the other one died.
You're setting up a murder mystery in this.
it's Colonel Mustard in the library with the candles. Yeah.
Looking for a motive. There's one.
So Tashma, Misha Kidesh Achat Mishte Achayot. Ve'eno yode ezo Kidesh. Notain get laze ve'get laze. He knew which one he married. They just got mixed up. It's not like it was a case of like it was unknown. Right? It was, I don't know.
Twins. Identical twins. Their parents gave him two similar names and he just couldn't remember which was which.
In other words, it's not like a case. Let's say somebody sends a shaliach to be makadesh. Says, go give this to Rachel Schwartz, and instead he gives it to Leah Schwartz. But since they're twins, so the shaliach doesn't know which sister he gave it to. So he's married to one of them, but nobody knows. Well, presumably Rachel or Leah would know.
Yeah, we're getting really.
How was they on the beard when he really wanted to marry?
No, because they accepted, one of them accepted the Kedushin. I don't know, the Gemara doesn't consider that.
From among two.
Well, you could complicate it by saying that there were two people that sent two Shlichim.
But that's not the case. Well, there's time. Anyway.
So, in other words, the one who accepted the Kedushin knows that she's the one who accepted the Kedushin.
Yeah, you would think so.
Yeah, so the Gemara doesn't raise that as one way out of this.
You can get around that by saying that the father accepted the...
Oh, the father accepted.
He could have got himself also.
The father got himself.
Like the guy, and they conspired to not reveal.
Okay, well, that's... So Daikanami, you can also infer that this is the case. The Katani... Eino yodea, velo katani, eino yadua. Right? He doesn't know which one, not that it's not, it wasn't known, meaning that it was forgotten. So, ihachi, maila memra seifa, itstarechle. What happens? Meit velo ach echad. What? What do you say?
No.
No, below.
No, below. A fellow dies and he has a brother. He has one brother. Choletz lishtehem. In other words, guy marries one of the two sisters. We don't know which one. But before anything can be resolved, he dies. So now his brother, his one brother, has a relationship with the authentic wife. We just don't know which one that is. That relationship in halacha is called a zika, right? A zika. There's like a connection. There's a mystical bond, a mystical tie. It's in some ways even deeper than kiddushin. The second that the brother dies childless, his brother, to whom the obligations of yibum or chalitza falls, is automatically bound to the widow. And he has to then marry her through Yibum or release himself through Chalitza. But Chalitza is in some ways equivalent to a get, right? I mean, it's a rather elaborate ceremony. You know, you can watch on YouTube. They have like videos of actual Chalitza ceremonies. It's a rather, unusual. And today, thankfully, even more unusual. Oh, but you asked about shlichut. So nowadays, in the worst case, as the case that I described, you get on a plane, you fly to Canada, you fly from wherever to Israel, and you have the chalitza is done. It's not insurmountable. But in the days of old, this happened.
Rough.
People would, people would travel. People here, there were cases here in Eretz Yisrael during the Yeshuva Yashan or during the first Aliyah or the second Aliyah. This is actually a very important subplot in Agnon's most important novel, in Tmol Shel Shom, about the Aliyah Shnia. The protagonist of the novel, Yitzchak Kumer, leaves Galicia and comes on Aliyah in 1908, and he dies a tragic death, leaving behind a young bride.
Brother back home.
And a little brother back home. And the one thing that you're aware of is that that little brother is never coming to Yerushalayim. Yeah, right? And what it took to get from Buchach to Yerushalayim in 1908, to say nothing of in 1808, right? Think of the Talmidei Hagro that came in the 18th century and the early 19th century. They all left behind brothers. They all came. You know what happened to a lot of them? They got malaria and died. Some of them leaving behind young brides. Right, with brothers back in Vilna, right? So, for all intents and purposes, this was a case of aguna. That's the young bride cannot remarry, right? Without settling the ibum of the chalitza. So this question of having it done by shaliach, even doing it by shaliach would have been a trick, right? Would have been a trick, but. Anyway, that's the...
It's just difficult to imagine. For so many things we read about shlichim, the Gemara wouldn't entertain or just, either allow or dismiss the idea of a shlichim because I can do it with everything else.
Right, so in Yevamos, this is discussed, but halacha l'maaseh, it's something of a... I think l'maaseh, Lamaaseh it was a lie. It was also, by the way, people, you know, people left Europe and went to America. It was the same. It was the same case. There's some interesting tshuvot from, there was a rabbi in America. There was a rabbi in England. The chief rabbi of England was somebody named Rabbi Solomon Hershula. He was a son of the Chacham Tzvi.
He was a brother of Yaakov Emden?
He was a brother of Yaakov Emden, I think. Yeah. And he was a chief rabbi in London. He was, until Jonathan Sacks, he was the first, I think I'm, I might be getting this wrong. He was born in England. He was the only, until Jonathan Sacks, he was the only chief rabbi that was born in England. He happened to be born there because his father was, let me look this up. Believe it or not.
It was Holland.
Well, right. I think it was Holland. I don't know if I think it was him.
Interesting. Unless I might have said it.
Yes. Rabbi Solomon Herschel, who died in 1842, was the chief rabbi of Great Britain from 1802 to 1842. No, I'm sorry. His father was not the Chacham Tzvi. He was a brother of Shaul Berlin, you know, who was this very interesting character who wrote or forged this work called the B'samim Rosh, which was ascribed to the Rishon. But he was somehow related to the Chacham Tzvi. I forget how. Anyway, so this Solomon Herschel, he was a chief rabbi in the beginning of the 19th, you know, for 40 years, in the beginning of the 19th century in London. And in America, there weren't yet that many Jews. There weren't that many Jews because the Eastern European Jews had not yet arrived. It was all the Jews that were there were Yekes.
Or Sephardim.
Or Spanish Portuguese. And he received a lot of people, whatever shilas that arose in America that couldn't be answered by the local rabbis, there weren't that many. And no Gedolei Torah, very few Gedolei Torah. They were sent to Solomon Herschler. And he kept a letter book. Meaning he kept all of the letters he received and all of the responses that he sent, you know, of his correspondence. And that letter book is in the library of the Jewish Theological Seminary. And short, long story short, I wrote a paper for my MA on this. But what's interesting is the shilas that were being sent to him that couldn't be, you know, not shilas like, you know, which door do I put the mezuzah on and the milchik spoon in the chicken soup, right? Which could not, you know. But like questions of intermarriage and burial of intermarried people and personal status and, you know, Yibum and Chalitza, right? So-and-so came over from the old country and died, left behind. How do you do a Chalitza? How do you, you know, we know there's a brother left behind in Europe. We don't know who he is or where he is or what to do. So these were questions that were being asked, you know.
Today, unfortunately, there's another racial with Chalitza. A lot of times, like the brother, in the case you mentioned, at least he was willing to do it, even though he wasn't.
Yeah, right. What if the brother's not willing? The spitting. Yeah. I think she told me, like, you know, they explained to him, like, before she came, you know, like, somebody from the Bet Din contacted him to explain what it is. But they like left out the part about the saliva. they like let him know about that at the very last minute so that that he wouldn't get, pardon the expression, cold feet or wet feet.
Well, when you take off your shoe,
you get cold feet. Yeah. When you get spit on your shoe, Anyway. So, mot velo echad. Mot velo achechad choletz l'shtehen. So he has to do chalitza for both of them. Hayulo shnayim. But what if he had two brothers? What? Echad choletz ve'echad miyapim. One can do chalitza, and the other one can do yibum. Right?
Because it's a cow's broken.
Because once there's chalitza, either. In other words, one brother, let's say the older brother is choletz to the older sister. So maybe that older sister was nothing, and the chalitza was also nothing.
You just, right? And the Yibum is just married.
So then the younger brother marries the younger sister, either she's the real wife, in which case he's doing Yibum, or he's just marrying her.
There's no difference in the marriage process in terms of Yibum and just marrying.
Yep.
Do the other brothers have to be Yibum also? Well, was one, does one Yibum take care of the family?
No, the first one can't do Yibum. Why can't the older brother do Yibum?
Because he's thinking he'll be married.
Because maybe the woman to whom he's actually connected is the other sister. In which case, the woman he's trying to marry through Yibum is his sister-in-law, which you can't do. If I had a blackboard, this would be easier.
This is getting complicated.
You have two brothers and two sisters,
uh-huh.
And a dead brother, and no children. The older brother and the older sister do chalitza.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't the older brother do yibum with the older sister?
Because he might be marrying his
wife. Because maybe he has the zikah. Maybe he's already maritally bound to the younger sister. Maybe for all intents and purposes, the younger sister is already, quote unquote, his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Because once the older brother dies, that relationship instantly kicks in. Being married through the zikah, or being connected through the zikah to the younger sister, means that the older sister is his sister-in-law, who's forbidden to him, because you cannot have relations with your sister-in-law while your wife, even your zikah wife, is still alive. So the older brother does chalitza with the older sister. Maybe it was the real chalitza, and maybe it was nothing. This means the younger brother is now free
to do either one.
The younger brother can do chalitza to the sister, which maybe if she's the real wife, then now everybody's off the hook.
But he has to do even more chalitza.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's also free to marry the younger sister, because either the younger sister is the actual wife that he's supposed to marry, right? Or the Zika, or the older sister was, but the Zika was already broken when the older brother did the chalitza. Got it?
Same would hold true if the younger brother did his part first.
Yeah, just for the sake, what brother A and brother B? For the sake of clarity, I was using older names.
Doesn't the older brother have to do it first?
That's the Noel. In other words, b'dieved, it would certainly work. In a normal case, when we know that she was the wife, normal case, no, there's no normal case of Yibum, but in a normal case, we know there's no suffix about who the wife is, and there's a bunch of brothers. So the Noel is that the oldest brother has more responsibility, right? And if for some reason the older brother can't do it, so then the next brother would do it. Any one of the brothers doing it solves the problem.
Okay, that's what I'm...
Isn't there some discussion in the Yavamot about like if the two brothers both want to do it? Like,
When
you say any one of the brothers will do it, it's probably mean anyone.
Any one of the brothers who does chalitza, right? The zikah is broken, the mitzvah is fulfilled, and now she is free to marry again.
We haven't solved the dead brother's problem.
The dead brother's problem being what?
Continuing his name.
Yeah, but we don't do Yibum. Bezman hazeh, already from the times of the Gemara, there's no Yibum, right? Say there, in the time when we did Yibum, you had a choice. It's clear from the Torah that Yibum was preferred, right?
Right. So,
And the whole thing, the whole disgrace to the Choletz is because he's not doing what he's supposed to do. But no. From the times of the Gemara already, it wasn't...
I understand, but I'm asking a question of the times when we did Yibum. If the first brother... Nine, the fewest, then the problem is evolved out to the next brother in order to fulfill the purpose.
Right. The... Let's say there are 10 brothers, 10 surviving brothers, and the 9 oldest ones don't want to marry her, right? They're prepared to do chalitza, and the youngest brother says, I'll do Yibum, so then he'll do Yibum. Right?
Right.
Im kadmu v'kanso, ein motzi'in otam miyadam. However, if they jumped the gun and they brought her...
Who are they?
The
context of it.
What?
Context to make it the interim.
What does Steinsaltz say?
אם קדמו ו... לא, לא, אני ג'אמת את זה. חלפת רב, אם קדמו וכנסו שלו ושניהם נשאו את שני החיות, both are married.
Right. If both, yeah, if both brothers marry the sisters before the Bet Din could tell them you shouldn't do that, so then we let them stay married. Then we let them stay married. Even though the first one should have done chalitza.
Someone jumps in, he gets it.
Right. So that we don't make them get divorced.
There's no issue of two brothers marrying two sisters anyway, because they're not...
No, two brothers are allowed to marry two sisters.
Right, the sister-in-law is actually the sister-in-law. It's not the sister of the...
Right, right.
You got the two brothers. It would seem that up until the point of Chalitza, they have the same relationship to the two women. To England.
Mm-hmm.
They are momentarily both bound to one of those two women.
Right.
I think it's suggesting that if one of the brothers then does chalitza, the other brother's bond is broken.
Right.
Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to marry either.
Right. But this is all dira. But look at Rashi. You see, Rashi, ein motzi notam miadam, afilu lo kines harishon et yivamto ufaga ba'achot zkukato. Ma'amar shenichnas shekansa me'achar shekansa hasheni pakazika v'hutra l'rishon l'kayma da'achod skuka dirabananhi. This, when we say that a husband cannot marry his sister-in-law, which is what we said this is like, it is like marrying your sister-in-law, but only dirabanan. He shouldn't have married her, but if he did marry her, he's allowed to stay married to her, particularly since shortly thereafter the whole Zika was erased through the Yibum of the brother to the other one. Right?
I don't know which one, but
it doesn't matter. Each of them is Suffolk, so, real wife, Suffolk sister.
You were asked earlier, and this actually is relevant to this now. What happens if somebody gets married and then turns out they need to do chalitza? So you're saying, if that zikah is broken, can you do the chalitza after and then they continue to remain married?
I don't know.
I mean, that would seem to be the case. If it's
chalitza, it would seem you'd have to marry again.
No, but no. In other words, if there's a woman who taka really is a real yivama, a real zkuka, right? She needs yibum or chalitza. And she marries somebody who's not the brother right. of the dead husband. That's like an Aishas Ish, right? That's something else. This says that the zika to the,
you know, is it just like the relationships that are formed by this Aishas Ish, all the other extended Isurim, those are Durabanan. Forget about this case of the weird
why can't the oldest brother marry the oldest sister? Why can't the oldest brother do Yibum with the oldest sister before anything else is done? Why?
She has a Zika.
No, because no, he has the Zika to her. Either he has the zika to her, or let's make the case simpler. There's two wives. There's two women. There's two sisters. One of them was married to the brother. We don't know which one.
But you don't even need that.
Listen, there's two brothers and two sisters. One brother is married. One brother. I wish I had a blackboard. There's Reuven and Shimon and Rachel and Leah. Reuven is Makadesh, either Rachel or Leah, we don't know who. Then Reuven drops dead. Shimon now has a Zika to which one of them? Misafek to both of them. Right? Why can't he marry, just go and marry Rachel?
Because Rachel might be his sister.
Because Rachel is Safek, his sister-in-law, because of his Zika, if Leah was the actual wife. But that Isser of marrying his sister-in-law is only in Issa D'Rabbanan. So if he marries her, let's say he marries, wait a second. If he marries Rachel, who may have been somebody he's obligated to do Yibam with, or may have been the sister of someone he's obligated to do Yibam, he shouldn't have married her. But having married her without first consulting the Bet Din, we say we don't require to get divorced. But what does he still have to do?
Chalitza.
Now he has to do Chalitza to Leah because maybe she was the Zkuka.
What I'm saying is, you said that he... If someone didn't do chalitza fana later, they're married. It's an issue. If you have a real problem, she married someone else. It's a real problem.
Yeah.
But what I'm wondering if we can learn from, understand from Rashi. What if it's not a case of this weird thing where you didn't know who they got married? You have Reuven is married to Rachel, and Rachel has a sister Leah, and Reuven's brother Shimon goes and wants to marry Leah instead of Rachel. And so, could he? If he does, after he gets married to Ron, he gets married to Leah, even though he should have done Yibum or Chalitza to Rachel. Is that the Derabanan that we're talking about here? Not the case of a Safek who didn't know married, but...
I'm sorry, but say this again.
You have Reuven and Shimon and Rachel and Leah. Reuven was married to Rachel.
Okay. For sure.
For sure. Yeah. We're not talking about this weird case of it. Reuven's married to Rachel, and he dies. Shimon should do either Chalitza or Yibum to Rachel. Yep. But instead, he goes and gets married to Leah, which in principle, if there wasn't just a Zika, we'd actually married, that'd be a sister line of Yasser. Mm-hmm. But since it's, I'm wondering if he, after he marries Leah, right, and he just does Chalitza to Rachel, is he okay? You know, is that a similar case?
Yeah, in other words, he's violated the Rabbanan, and he, yeah.
All these... Serene. When you marry someone, you get a whole group of people you can't marry.
Yeah.
But I think the understanding of Rashi is all those people, if it's only a Zika or only Dervana, not the person.
In other words, the siblings,
the mother-in-law,
the
whatever.
The siblings of the person you have the Zika to. Yeah.
Well, not the daughter, but.
I think so.
The idea that you can't marry the sister of the Zika when you don't know which one it is.
In other words, she's not your. In other words, your Zika, the woman that you have the Zika with, she's not actually your wife, which means that her sister is not actually your sister-in-law.
The prohibition of marrying the sister is the Rabbanan.
Right, but we say, but like it's ki'ilu, she's your sister-in-law. So the normal isser of relations with your sister-in-law should apply, right? Dirabanan. Okay. Tashma Shnaim Shikidshu. Where are we?
No. Dafke de Mechalitza. I think we didn't get
the line beginning. Kadmo.
Kadova Chazu Ein Motzi Inotam Yadam. Dafke Mechalitz. Vahodar Yivume. So this is talking about he first did Chalitza with one, and then did Yibum with the other. Aval Yivume v'hadar michalitz, but if he does Yibum with one, and then Chalitza with the other, lo de kapoga ba'achod skukato. Right? In other words, if he does first Yibum with one, and then Chalitza with the other, which was not the order that he was supposed to do it in, right? It's not exactly like he has somehow caused injury to Achot Skukato, because we don't know for a fact. The whole thing is a suffix. So Tashma, Shnaim Shekidshu Shtei Achayot. Two people, not brothers, two people that are Makadesh, two sisters. Right? Two brothers-in-law are married to two sisters. Ze eino yodea ezek hidesh. Ze eino yodea ezek hidesh. You and your brother-in-law are married to two sisters. You just don't know who's supposed to sit next to who at Thanksgiving dinner. You don't know whose wife is it. You know, the one thing you know is you're stuck with the same in-laws either way. Ze notein shnei gitin. Ve notein shnei gitin. Right? They each have to get divorced from both of them. So hachi nami shehu kru levasof nitarbu. Nitarbu. Right? The same structure. Taikanami diktani eino yodea velo kitane eino yadua. Again, these are all shlamazels. Nobody can remember. It was like one of these Vegas weddings, you know, with like Elvis. Like everybody was a little drunk. You don't know who you stood under the chuppah with. Shmamina ihochi maila memra. Maila memra seifa itzterchela. Mate vilazeach vilazeach. So in this case, you have two men, not brothers, who are married to a set of siblings. And these two guys die. Right? We don't know who, really, we need a blackboard for this. We don't know who was married to who. Right? You know, you have two husbands, two wives, and you have lines going in each direction. Right? But each of them has a brother. Right? Zecholets the shtehem, vezecholets the shtehem. I'm sorry. Ze cholitz the shteim. Ze cholitz the shteim. Leze echad veleze shnayim. But what if one brother had one brother, one dead brother had one sibling, and the other dead brother had two brothers? Turn the page. Nun beis amar aleph. Or echad, the side that has a sole surviving brother. Choletz l'shtehem, v'hashnayim, echad choletz, v'echad miyabim. One does chalitza, and the other one is free to do yibum, just like our previous case. Because the chalitza having been done to both of them, right? So then, he's free to marry one if he wants. Right? Because in the worst case, he is doing yibum. Either he's doing yibum, or he's marrying a woman who's permitted to him. Im kadmu v'chansu, ein motzi en oto miyadam. The same case, right? They shouldn't have gotten married first without first getting rid of all of the chalitzot. But if they did, right?
And what would you say if the first brother who did a chalitza with both of women then decides to marry one?
I don't think you can. Chalitza,
why not?
I
it's
like giving her a get
and then
unless he's a kohen. I don't know.
He's
maybe
even if he is a
kohen,
because it's not a Kirushan. I don't
think you're allowed to marry the woman either chalitza. I think that's the point. You had the option to do yibum. I mean, Minatoria, you had the option to do yibum.
Oh, yeah, but in this case, it's kind of special. In that case, you don't know which one you're really married to.
Right.
So you release yourself from both of them, and then suddenly they are pre-women, you are a pre-man.
Yeah, but I think that, in other words, in some ways, we say that yibum is like marriage and chalitza is like divorce, but not in every way. I think the din is that you cannot marry your chalutzta afterwards. It's like a knas. It's like a penalty. If you wanted to marry her, you could have done ibum, right? Which would have been a great mitzvah. Yeah. You opted not to.
Except in this case, you didn't have the option of doing it.
Okay, but say it about it. Nagid that I'm right. I don't know what I'm talking about. Nagid that I'm right, that you're not allowed to marry your chalutzta, right? So it's true that this is a weird case. But manavshach, you know, you
be careful and don't know who you're getting married to.
No, but manavshach, in other words, but the klal remains. We don't give you an exception to the rule. If the rule is you can't marry your chalutza, right? So we don't say but we'll let you off the hook in this weird case, right? In other words, the klal is the klal. Weird cases are weird cases, but the klal is the klal. We don't say that the normal rules, right? There's no reason not to apply the normal rule in this case.
Even if you want to do evil, you couldn't have.
In the evil case, there's no evil. If you can have children, there's no evil. You can't marry your... You can't marry your brother's widow.
You can. Yeah. Yeah, you can't marry your brother's grusha, but you can marry his widow. Marries better.
We talked about this. Like a lot of people, like Al Sharon,
married there. You can't marry your brother's divorced wife.
If your brother gets divorced, you can't marry his divorcee, your former sister-in-law. No, you can't marry her while he's still up.
That depends on his being alive.
And it's in other words, if she's divorced from your brother, you can't ever marry her.
Ah,
if she's widowed of your brother, then you can marry her.
That's interesting. And also better about it.
No, I think that's a minute.
A lot of people are doing that. Same thing. Can't marry the wife died, and then
I think what I said is true. Tashma, the Tani Tavume's was a Tana. You know, like Tavi, right? The servant of Rabbi Yehuda. So I it's like a similar name. What is it? Does he say something about who Tavume was? Lezeh hamisha banim v'lezeh hamisha banot. Remember, seven wives for seven brothers. V'amar achat mibnotayech mikudeshet leechad mibni. One of your daughters is married to one of my sons, but we don't know who.
I didn't know who either.
It doesn't matter how it happened, but nobody seems to know. We know that there's a marriage between one of your five and one of my five.
Oh, if both fathers didn't know which child they were talking about, it shouldn't be any.
The Gemara does not make that assumption. The Gemara presumes that, take this crazy case at face value, there is kiddushin between one of the five and one of the five. We just don't know who. Sricha chamisha gitin. You need five.
Each of the daughters.
Each of the fives.
Each of the
five brothers has to give a divorce to each one of the
brothers. Yeah, right.
Total of 25.
25 gitin. The sofrim are making good money that day. Mate echad mihem, right? One of the brothers dies. Kol achat ve'achat. Tzricha arba gitin, v'chalitza me'echad mihen, or chalitza me'echad mihen. Right? Because each of them needs four gitin, because maybe you were the wife without children, so maybe you need ibum or chalitza from one of these four gentlemen, right? Or maybe. Not.
So in essence, we've got there 20 gitin and 5 chalitza.
And 5 chalitza, right? But the chalitza can be performed by the same...
Anyone, it could be the same...
They can each take turns, the oldest can do all the chalitzot, or... Right? Okay. Again, it's this case. It was known. Right. So anyway, the point is, all of this discussion was about the machlokes between Rava and Abaye. You remember the machlokes between Rava and Abaye? What was the machlokes between Rava and Abaye? In a marriage which cannot be consummated, Rava said that nevertheless they're married, Kiddushin is created. And Abaye said it's nothing. And Abaye said that nothing is created in these marriages. So what?
It was not.
It wasn't Kiddushin, right? Right. Abaye says, if you go now, Minat Torah, how many wives are you allowed to have? More than you've got now. I won't mention it to your wife.
Only quantitative, not quality.
Yeah. Your wife might say, Gzuntait.
Doubt.
Told you a story about Gal Gadot.
That was a recent.
About Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot is an actress. Oh, so you do know something about Gal Gadot. My father, I was visiting my parents, and my father on his 700-inch television screen is watching some Gal Gadot movie. He seems to have like a little soft on Gal Gadot. She's, you know, she's an attractive young lady.
He married soon.
So I said to my mother, I said, I think Daddy has a little thing for Gal Gadot. And without missing a beat, my mother says, if she wants him, she can have him. So, Mikar Adin, if Gal Gadot was not already an Eishes Ish, my father could marry her in addition to my mother. Gal Gadot can come and cook his meals and do his laundry and everything else. My mother would be free to enjoy her retirement. She'd be honored. My mother would be free to enjoy her retirement. Gal Gadot is Wonder Woman. She's got all that energy. She can. Well, my mother deserves a rest.
He was still young. My mother said she had a thing for Frank Langella.
Frank Langella. Oh, he was an actor. What was he in? He was in.
Most recently, The Child of Chicago 7.
Mm-hmm.
Not so young. But at the time.
No, I can picture in my. I
13 chairs.
I can picture in my head.
Yeah, 12 chairs, rather.
So this is proof, right?
A lot of movies.
Shh, shh, shh. So Tziufta de Rava, Tziufta. This is a refutation of Rava's position. Vehilchata kevate de Abaye beya'al kegam. Generally speaking, in a machloket between Abaye and Rava, the halacha is like Rava. Abaye v'Rava halacha k'Rava. Except in six cases. Yes. The six cases, the ya'al kegam, right? So like a nice game, like if your last name is Kigam, you should name your daughter Ya'al. Ya'al Kigam. The kuf in Ya'al Kigam is Kiddushin She'enam Nitanim Libya. In this case, the halacha is like Abaye. Do you have a sister-in-law?
Yes, my sister is my sister-in-law.
Your sister is your sister?
My sister married my wife's brother, so my sister is
not. No, like you're like one of these crazy cases from the Gemara. All right, so this is, you're off the table. This is too complicated. Your sister married you in a two siblings married two siblings.
No new in-laws, that's right.
Oh, how nice. Your in-laws got married first?
Oh, my wife and I got married way long before.
Ah, your parents liked each other?
Yeah.
They were happy to do another wedding together. Yeah.
No family with three and three.
Well, three siblings marry three siblings?
In LA that happens all the
time. One is in Old Split, one's in Arnold.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
It's probably more common than you think.
One's on my grandparents.
Okay. I mean, you know, this idea that like people are attracted, like the science of what a person finds attractive in a mate. Right, like this. Right, this idea that people often marry people that share certain, like more than average, you marry somebody that shares enough physical traits that there's a resemblance. Not in every case, but in shape of face and set of eyes and build and height and things like that.
From whenever dating. When we were, you know, teenagers dating a teenager, they said, "Oh, your brother and sister."
Yeah. People used to say Lonnie and I looked to a certain degree, look a certain amount of like. And there's some science behind this, so it makes sense that you know if you found this girl attractive, your brother would find her sister attractive. All things being equal,
I think I have probably about 15,000 names in my family tree. I don't think I have first cousins who've married and things like that. I don't think I have a single case
The two brothers married
two brothers and sisters.
Interesting. Okay. But I'm not saying it happens in every family, but it's probably more common than you would think. But here, right here, we have two cases. We just so the Alkagam, the halacha is like Abaye, that if you try, not in your crazy case, if you try to marry your sister-in-law, right, it's not kiddushin, since it's forbidden to consummate such a marriage. It's not kiddushin, even though the Torah allows you to have more than one wife. It wouldn't be kiddushin. All right. So anyway, we got to the two dots. It's a complicated sugya. We will continue from here next week.
Thank you very much.
Okay, sure. Frank Langella. What was Frank Langella's most famous role?
His famous role is when he played Nixon at Ross Nixon both on stage.
Oh, yes. That was very good. I saw that. And he was in that. Hello, Sharon.